CliffCentral.com.
Yes, indeed. CliffCentral.com, Friday morning, and we're ready to take on the weekend. I hope you've got lots and lots of blankets and warm clothes ready for this weekend, because it's going to be freezing, according to the weather people. They say there's going to be snow in parts of South Africa, there's going to be rain in other parts of South Africa, and the temperatures are going to hit rock bottom. And it's not even June yet, so brace yourself, so to speak. We've got Ben and we've got Leanne with us this morning. There's lots of hilarious, hilarious stuff going on in the comments. I just want to go to some of these because they're too good to ignore. So Mapadima says, my sister told me that if I kissed a guy, I would fall pregnant. I swear I only started having sex in my first year at varsity. It took me that long to believe the truth. Oh, the stuff we tell each other. Ricky Lowe says, when my primary school principal was on holiday, I jumped over his fence and swam in his swimming pool. He found out. He hated me for the rest of my primary school years. Cabello says, I farted in primary school while trying to sneeze. That was embarrassing. And I was a fat kid by then. Got kicked out. You know what's so horrible about that, Cabello, is that if you do something like that when you're at school, then that's what you get known for. Like, you become Cabello, the guy who fart sneezes. Like, that's your nickname, whether you like it or not. We had a guy called Jeremy who farted very loud in assembly, so loud that everyone stopped what they were doing. And, like, forevermore, like, he was the guy who farted. I mean, like, teachers remembered. Everybody in our grade remembered. Everybody else remembered, too. It was very embarrassing for him. It was hard to take him seriously in any – you know, when he'd get up to make a, like, a prepared speech or an oral or whatever they called them. We'd all like go as he got up. You know? It was hilarious.
There was, for me, it was Adam who wet his pants. And I'm in my mid-40s and I still remember Adam who wet his pants when he was 6.
Oh, God. Yeah, it's horrible. Gary says, our 40 days stopped when someone dropped a quart bottle on someone's head from the second floor. Jesus.
Oh, jeez.
That's hectic. Ricky says, at high school, someone shat in one of my teacher's drawers. That's so funny. Can you imagine how irate that teacher was? But they, what could they do, right? I mean, what are you going to do? It's so funny. We locked our teachers in. We locked all of our teachers, says Ruth, in the staff room. Boy, was there cuck, but nothing actually ended up happening. All of them at once, locking them all in. That's so great. Some terrific stories. Gary says, I remember when I was 15 and playing rugby, I broke my collarbone. I got a hiding for breaking my collarbone. How could I be so stupid, they said. Yeah. Good times. All right. So I mentioned this terribly cold weather. It's going to be hitting us this weekend. So whatever plans you had, you might have to just cancel or dress like you're going to the Arctic. That's the only way you're going to have a weekend. Are you doing any outside? Are you playing any golf or anything, Ben? Because that's going to be hell in this cold.
No, it'd be a terrible idea. Friends of mine are. But I generally always look at the weather, because I don't believe golf should be played in bad weather. I'm at that stage where it shouldn't be. So I'm going to go to gym. But I'm actually, what I'm doing on Saturday is I'm going to go to bookstores, because there's some books that I want to try find. I've really got into reading all these Wilbur Smith books. And I also want to find the original Dune. So I discovered recently that Star Wars is actually a pile of shit. It's probably plagiarism. It's weak fantasy at best. And I feel like I've been living this lie for so long. I felt like I just found out that Christmas doesn't exist.
Hold on. You got to explain yourself here. This is sacrilege. I mean, I know you and I know. You and I even went to watch, like, I think it was Rogue One together at the cinema, because we both thought like that was a big deal in our lives. What has turned you against George Lucas and Star Wars? So why have you turned to the dark side of the Force, Ben?
Oh, well, Gareth, I have. And the thing is that you really got me into Star Wars. So obviously, I didn't have a childhood, so it was you that introduced me to Star Wars. And I watched all 6 of the movies. You lent me the DVD. I was just so happy about that. Yeah. But then there's a story called Dune. There was a guy called Frank Herbert back in the 60s. Oh, he was like a bit of a kooky character, and he wrote Dune in the 60s. And this book and the story, it was so incredibly good. It's like, it's the world's most popular, successful sci-fi story of all time. He went on to write 6 books, and he died tragically in the 80s. But then everyone goes like, oh, I'd never heard of this guy. And only last year did they actually release the movie Dune, which was incredible. I watched it last month.
Yes, and I watched it last month as well. It was Timoshalamalala Malamale. What's his name? Timothy Mashalamalamale. What's his name?
Yes, him.
That's the one.
Fuck knows.
All of Hollywood. Hollywood's obsessed with this kid. And I mean, he's a good actor, but they're obsessed with him. He's like the most popular guy on the internet. Shyamalan. What is his name? Somebody help me.
Gareth, it does not matter to the story here, but I was watching this movie and I was thinking, wow, this is kind of like if Star Wars was, it's like, oh, this is like the best of all the fantasy things I've ever watched. So then afterwards, because I'm thinking, wow, this movie was so incredible. And then it kind of stops and you can see there's going to be a Dune 2. And I was absolutely like, it felt like I just spent 8 hours watching this movie. It took me away, really grabbed me. And then at the same time, I've been reading George Lucas's book, basically about his life and times of who he was. And this guy wasn't actually that remarkable. He was actually pretty fucking average. And how Star Wars came to be, so we'll get back to Dune in a second, but how Star Wars came to be is that George Lucas was really good friends with Francis Ford Coppola, who was a big swinging dick back in the day. He was just a big fucking guy who, literally, big guy.
Yeah.
And he wanted to, because Hollywood back in those days, obviously, we know Hollywood was built around pedophiles and just old people. But back then, it really, really was. And like, you know, as a young person, you really couldn't do anything professionally, like recreationally, that obviously entertain you. And obviously steal your innocence. But you couldn't really get into the industry. So George at the time was at UCLA and he was a talented like art kid. Mm-hmm. And to be a talented art kid back in those days, you basically just had to grow a beard and wear flannel.
Yeah.
And he still does then that. Became friends with – yeah. But he became friends with Coppola and – he would just sell George as like this protege, but he had nothing to show for it, actually. Sure, he could write and he had like quirkiness about him and he wanted to be this guy. But he wrote and created this fucking disastrous sci-fi thing called THX-35, whatever, which nobody liked.
Oh.
And then there was an absolute flop. And then he was like, I'm going to create the greatest sci-fi, blah, blah, blah. And they were like, well, maybe you should try and make like a movie people actually like. Then he made American Graffiti. American Graffiti made money. But he did it out of spite. It was like, I'll show people I can make a movie. And what Francis was so good at, he would go into these networks and would say, we've got 20 movies. We've got screenplays. We've got all this stuff. And he had nothing. So he then got sold on a whole bunch of movies. And back in those days, they were like, cool. If we pick up 3 or 4, then that's really, really great. But what George wanted to do deep down is he wanted to create Flash Gordon. Again, he didn't write Flash Gordon, but he wanted to make the movie of Flash Gordon. Couldn't afford the rights to it. So he was like, screw you guys. I'm going to make my own space opera. So at the time, everyone was like, yeah, cuck idea, bro. But they were buying him on like his potential and his brand. He never wrote the story Star Wars. Star Wars was never a book. It was never a story. It was a hodgepodge collaboration of really okay ideas. And it was meant to be a space opera.
Well,
somehow Fox kind of picked up on it. And they kept asking him to rewrite the screenplay because it was so dog shit. I mean, it was originally Luke's Starkiller. And then he had like some good ideas and then he wrote them out when he did the rewrites. And then Francis would say, no, dude, you've got to have Princess Leia as this like tragic heroine of the story they're going to go save. And eventually, after all this back and forth, he eventually got Star Wars together. But there was no story. All the actors laughed at it because it was stupid. And then to carry on from there, it was 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3.
Okay,
there was like characters that got put in, strapped on here and there.
You can criticize the origins of the whole thing, but he's the richest man in entertainment history, and that doesn't happen by mistake.
Yes, I'm getting to that.
People attach themselves to the story, like I've said before, it's the fairy tale of our generation, and I know these characters started off stupidly.
I'm getting to that. It's all brilliant. He obviously read Dune at some stage, okay? Because Dune is based on this like desert planet, and then suddenly Tatooine was built. Dune has this like mythical power that this person taps into, which he's trying to search for the whole time, just like Luke Skywalker with the Force.
Yeah.
All these little cues. Dune was written in the 60s. Star Wars came out in the 70s. Frank Herbert watched this thing and said, this is boring. But the thing about Frank was that he was a sci-fi guy. So he was a geek. He was a nerd. He wasn't marketable. And it was just so true. When you go through the story of Dune, then you go, oh, okay, so Star Wars basically copied all of this. And that was the only thing that gave them some structure. Because George did not have a plan. He never had a plan. When the first movie ended, he was like, yeah, this money's really cool. Let me make another one.
But then,
he kept just building on badly.
Okay, but so he didn't plan it, and it still ended up being this huge success. You know how that makes the rest of us feel? Like, we could also have this kind of success without being a genius. You sometimes just stumble on a good idea, and sometimes it isn't perfect, but it's there.
No, totally, and I'm getting to that. But what I'm saying is that Dune was the real story. Star Wars was like the Walmart that got created because they just managed to commercialize it better. Another thing about Star Wars is that the timing was so good. There was a shit story, but there was no positive stories in movies because they were coming out of Vietnam. So people were either on drugs or their dads were beating them or they were just like, I don't know, at war with themselves. So George was like, I want to tell a positive story. And then he merchandised the whole thing. And that's why he became a billionaire because he's – I know, but it's not his story. Like, he's a genius businessman. So, I don't think he's –
So sometimes you don't win because you're the best or because you're first.
No, you never win by being the best, the first. This is where I'm going with all of this. Because he had Francis to be his hype man, and because the timing was so good that he was like, I should tell a space story, whatever. But the real hero of this whole thing was Frank Herbert. He was the real genius who created Dune.
All right, well, Ben.
And George.
And Ben, George was do you mean Dune?
Dune, as in like a sand dune.
He just
this whole time I thought you were saying June, like April, May, June. But you mean Dune, right?
Dune, yeah.
Leanne's still stuck in your... Leanne didn't hear anything else you said. She was obsessing over how you pronounce Dune.
I'm not alone.
No, I don't think you're alone. Well, that's hilarious. All right, so Ben, now you've had a proper whinge about this. What's his name? Herbert.
Well, I just think that looking back on Star Wars, because I never understood the latest Star Wars movies. I don't know what sequence they were in. Suddenly it was like Disney making the whole, you've got to be a black person or a woman to be a hero now, which I understand. That's their sort of slant. But I really want to get back to, actually, I want to read the Book of Dune. And I can't wait to see the second movie because I think that's the space epic that we should all be giving the most credit to.
I mean, that was the most Barry Ronger, long-winded endorsement of a movie I've ever heard from you. I mean, I've heard you rave about a movie, but it's usually a sentence or two. I mean,
so good.
You kept asking me not to interrupt you. I mean, you were on a mad tear to prove a point about this fucking movie. I've never heard you talk like this about something. I'm gonna watch it again just to see if I can pick up similarities.
It's so good because it's where George Lucas stole so much stuff. And I'll tell you what also happened. Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Also stole from Dune. House Baratheon, House Blowjob, whatever. It comes from Dune. Dune, the guy, Frank Herbert, was the first guy to have the houses. Well, and the houses come together.
Well, this long pleasuring session for Frank Herbert was brought to you by Ben Karpinski this morning. Aren't you lucky?
Gareth, it's always good to see where these things come from in life. George Lucas was a billionaire. Well done. I totally think it's great what he's done because he saw the business behind it.
Sure.
But he had fuck all ideas. That's all I'm saying.
So what?
That's all I'm saying.
You know what, Ben? You sound like those artists who complain, well, we never went commercial. We never sold out. We had the real art. We were the true creatives. And then someone else comes along and finds something to sell.
I'm 100% commercial capitalist person. I'm very excited about what George Lucas has created. But what the point of my story is here that there's actually a base, there's a source to all of this.
All right.
And that's what I find interesting. No, George is great. I mean, he's made billions. He's given money to children and all kinds of other things. And Frank Herbert died when he was in his 40s. So
yeah, shame.
There's better people.
You know, life.
But that's where it all came from.
This does prove what I already mentioned about how, like, anybody could come up with a great idea. And it doesn't have to be perfect. And it might end up making you millions or billions in the case of George Lucas.
It doesn't have to be theirs.
But the other thing it teaches us is that life is not fair. You could be the most brilliant, insightful genius who has this incredible idea of a story or a narrative, and you have the imagination of 20 people, and then you die in your 40s, and nothing happens.
But this is why I love the story as well so much, is that Frank Herbert is the hero here, which I've alluded to on many occasions.
No, here we go.
You don't need to be the Frank Herbert. This is the point of our story. You don't need to be the Frank Herbert in life. You can be the... this sort of shit-slinging opportunist George Lucas in life. And a lot of people would, should
I
be
I had
that.
No idea so, this was so important to you. I mean, I wouldn't even have let you start if we'd known.
Well, now we know what you're aspiring to. And that's what you've just said now. How do you describe this person?
Ben is going to bring Frank Herbert back. That's what he's going to do. He's going to give this guy the moment in the sun that he deserved. Ben hates the world being so unfair, and he's going to fix it.
No, I don't. I know the world's unfair, and I laugh about the fact that it is. I'm purely pulling out the point here that I want to read about the source of things because I enjoy brilliance, yeah, but right. I'm the first right. person to admit
I hear you.
That it's that's not how you become successful.
I'm going to watch it again and see what the similarities are. I think this is an interesting comparison. I'm going to take you seriously, but don't go on about it anymore or I'll kill myself. I just want to refer. I told Sanele, or I said this morning on the show that we, by mistake, I think I'd blocked Sanele, and I was worried that he hadn't come back, and I felt bad about that, which is something the old Gareth would never have done. So Sanele's replied, he's back. Sanele 2.0 says, "Gareth, you bastard. Funny thing is, nothing changed. My mornings have been the same. I tuned in and commented. I had no clue I was blocked. That's such a Kardashian thing to do. Oh, what you've become. Yeah, so shame. Sanele had no idea he was blocked. That's hilarious. But, you know, every person who listens to the show counts. You see, I've grown up a little bit. There's some funny stories also. A lot of people commenting on what Ben's saying now. Ideas are shit, says Jamie K. It's all about who can make something happen. Luck, timing.
Exactly.
Right.
Execution, determination.
Yeah.
Work ethic.
It's the doers in life. You know, I've always used the example of the Mona Lisa. So Leonardo da Vinci might have seen this woman walking through Florence. And he might have said to her, "Hey, you are looking nice. Come to the studio. Maybe one a day I paint you." And maybe she would have said, "No, fuck off. Leave me alone, you perv," or whatever. And then it would never have happened. But he had to sit down. He had the idea in his head, like, "I'm gonna paint this beautiful portrait of a woman." Maybe he didn't even think it was a big deal. He just did it. And therefore, it's the greatest painting in the world because we can see it. You can actually see his work, you know? Elon Musk is actually sending rockets into space. He didn't just go, "Oh, I've got an idea for a rocket," because then no one would have cared. Everyone has good ideas. You got to make things happen, and it's very, very difficult to do that last part.
Gareth. Poor Frank Herbert.
Poor Frank Herbert.
Here we go.
Frank fucking Herbert. You know what, Ben? I'm getting close to blocking you like I did Sanella. So let's just talk about Ben for a second and not Frank Herbert, because you tweeted or Instagrammed this out yesterday, and it's got a lot of people talking. You said you're going to be returning next month to Cliff Central to create a new sports podcast that you've been wanting to create for some time, delving into the state of sport and the many talking points that need to be beyond the whistle-to-whistle action, as it were. So tell us what you're planning here, because people are already excited about it. Someone asked.
Yeah, Gareth, I think it's just an evolution of where I am within sport. I'm not just that sort of Six Beers fanboy anymore, which I haven't been for a while. And also, I think content-wise, that's a very saturated platform to be on now. So, yeah, there's some interesting things happening within sport. There's some fascinating people that are putting their heart and soul into making things happen. And also, we're at the place where sport's kind of rebuilding. Conversations.
You said to me in the discussion we had the other day that really the last 2 years have been the lowest point in sport probably ever.
Yeah, without doubt. And that has made people look at sport differently, the way people watch sport differently, the way they're consumed as a product, sports just – like it was doing badly. Like if you just look at live participation, and obviously like people going to events, it was doing badly before COVID. COVID then absolutely killed it. So yeah, it's like picking up the pieces and picking up the pieces with the people who are doing things and who do have knowledge. Because I've always believed that, you know, sport used to be entertainment for me, but then I also realized there's actually a massive part of life, and especially in third world countries, it gives a lot of hope and opportunity.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just about really encapsulating all these different things and people that I've met in the last couple of years, obviously through the businesses that we all been working on and been trying on. So I think, I think it'd be a great addition to sport. This is why I want to put my back into it.
When do you start? In June.
June. Yes, we're going to start it in June. And people are commenting on that. So Sanella says, Gareth, you say Ben, but I hear Jen. Ben is now Jen.
That's a leap.
Well, you see, people pronounce things differently. It's like whenever we have Michael Flax on, then people are like, putza and thus.
Yeah, but he's a bit extreme.
You think so?
I appreciate. I'm quite nasally, and I do pronounce things badly. But let's not go too far. Compare me to Flax.
Congo Chris calls you the Gingerman.
Yeah, do you remember the days of the Cliff Central premieres where we used to go and watch movies?
Oh yeah, that was a big deal. In fact, it came up in a discussion on Monday at a lunch. We should do those again. Get people back into the theaters.
Yeah, we should reinvigorate it for when June 2 comes out.
Which when
July?
When
is it called July? Oh, that's great.
All right. Oh my God. I have to throw this in. You know how sometimes someone makes a video and they put it on wherever, TikTok or Instagram or whatever, and they just like say what the whole of South Africa is thinking? And I know it's no politics Friday, but I got to play this because I just love what this woman's saying. And I also know there are going to be people who go, you just like this because it's not, you know, it's not the politics that you like. Just watch this and tell me how you could possibly disagree with this girl.
I would personally like to know, where is our president, Cyril Ramaphosa, when the Minister of Arts and Culture, Nathing Tetwa, wants to spend 22 million rand to erect a 100-meter-long flag in a poverty-stricken country? How the fuck does that make sense? These crooks, these criminals, they've already spent 1.7 million rand to assess the feasibility of this project. 1.7 million. Just need to brainstorm. We are being led by criminals. We do not need a flag that is 100 meters high. We do not need any more flags in this country, not while people are starving, not while 50% of our population is unemployed, not while the grant system is failing, not while everyone is dying. Cyril, stop your friends. You need to stop your motherfucking friends. I want to play you this week ass video where Nathing Tetwa is interviewed by ENCA last night to explain himself and explain his nonsense flag. And this is what he says. 22 million rand for a flag. Why? Why do we want the aliens to see us from space? Hey, fire these guys. ANC must go, guys. 2024, vote these motherfuckers out.
It's 120 meters tall. Flag,
all right.
Which is 10 meter by 15 meter, the flag itself.
Okay.
And during the day, it will.
Anyway, I mean, you get the basic idea. I just love her. No. Whoever that is.
She's great, and I follow her on TikTok, and I've actually been meaning to say to you, Gareth, we should have her on because she's got some really great opinions.
What's her name? Pass her on. We get Dorian Simpiwe to talk to. I mean, listen.
Yeah,
I just love the fact that now anybody, you don't have to be on television or on radio or have like some, you know, massive following on social media. You just start doing this stuff yourself. And don't tell me that she isn't saying what a lot of us are thinking. And this flag thing is turning into a big issue, eh? Apparently Cyril was forced to talk about it last night because there's such growing anger about this thing. And we've got to hold these guys' feet to the fire. I love that people are coming up with content like this. So well done to her.
Yeah, I think it's a really great thing that people start doing. I did think about this the other day, like this, you know, politicians get away with this kind of stuff is because as mere mortals, like we don't have the ability to take, we don't have the ability to take them on, right? Like there's nothing we can do because we have to go to our jobs and we have to go and pay mortgages and we have to do these things. Whereas back in the day, if someone had like a cuck idea, the town would just turn on them with like pickaxes and just like, bring them out into the road and beat them up. We can't because we got meetings at 9. We've got like a Zoom call at 9:30. I can't go and take on Nathing and Tetwa. That's why these guys carry on. That's why they succeed. That's why they go, we'll do that. What are they going to do? They've got to go wait in line. They've got TikTok to distract them.
I'll tell you, I would even think of joining TikTok just to follow people like her, because I need a little bit of, you know, it's funny. Like, the thing that is in demand at the moment is just common sense. It's common sense has become so rare that people are blown away when they hear it, because it just resonates with all of us. You're like, that is so spot on. And she's just said exactly what I've been trying to say, or trying to articulate, or trying to put into words. And she's better at it than I was, and than I could be. And I think we need more people with common sense. There should be a channel called Common Sense, and that's where it should live.
There used to be a product called Common Sense when my mom was growing up.
Really?
She said it was a cockroach spray, and everyone had one. They kept it on the kitchen table so you could spray the cockroaches around you while you were eating. And so there was always a saying of, where's your common sense? And you'd say, on the kitchen table.
Oh, that's hilarious. I didn't know about that. That's great. But you see, also, back in those days,
Leanne, you are such an amazing time warp sometimes. You really are.
And I love, you know,
if
I love
in my
how,
head, I've got to share it. Sorry.
I love how
it's
people,
amazing.
They would just spray this probably fucking toxic stuff, because in the 80s, again, there was no health and safety. While you're eating, you're telling me they would spray this cockroach spray on the... I mean, that's just insane.
Oh, it was a household thing, hey?
Well, Sanede says, play that Natim Tetwa clip, Gareth. It's hilarious. He says, it lits at night because the education has to go on during the day and night. Now we know who supports Angie's 30% matric pass rate. Yeah, look... I watched the clip. I actually tried to play it during the Burning Platform yesterday, but it's too long. And it really is embarrassing. And, you know, Lebang said to me on Tuesday when we played a clip, she's like, oh, these clips just make everybody uncomfortable, because we're like, these people are so useless at the top. They're so bad. Mm-hmm. SpaceX reportedly paid a flight attendant $250,000, according to Orki in the comments, to ensure that she didn't speak or sue the company after Elon Musk allegedly exposed himself and propositioned her for sex, according to a report.
Oh,
let me tell you, Orki, you're going to see a lot of this coming out now, because Elon Musk has suddenly said that he's not voting for the Democrats. And you watch the PR machine switch on now, like they did for Brett Kavanaugh when he was running for the Supreme Court. They brought out that nervous, bespectacled woman who said that she'd been raped by him, and it turned out to be completely fabricated nonsense. You watch. They switch on the spin machine now, and they're going to find all the stories they can about Elon Musk, and they're going to try and make him look like the most evil person who's ever lived. And he's going to go from hero to zero, in some people's opinion. Don't believe any of it. This is all spin. Politicians trying to protect their own asses. And I'll tell you what, they're going to get their asses handed to them in the primaries. Sorry, not the primaries, in the midterm elections, which are happening in November this year. And it couldn't happen to a bunch of nicer people. These are just the most scurrilous crooks. Them and Hollywood, Ben, I know that's a big soft spot of yours. But
yeah,
these guys, watch them go after Elon now. They're going to throw sexual harassment at him. They're already checking out his taxes. You think that's by mistake? You think for the last year and a half, while Joe Biden's been president and Elon Musk has been the richest man in the world, it's suspicious that they only start looking into his taxes once he says he doesn't support Joe Biden? Oh, come on. Do me a favor. If you can't see this for what it is, you're an idiot.
Yeah, these people are crooked like a Hillary.
Well, exactly. They're in the same party.
All of them.
The same party as Hillary.
All of them.
Disgusting. Anyway, a lot of people saying... Elon is really funny to follow on Twitter now, because he just doesn't care anymore. Apparently, plenty of the followers on Twitter could be completely fake. You know that. I mean, he's saying, I listened to an interview he did on Wednesday or Tuesday, or whatever it was, and he mentioned that it could be as high as 20, even 50% of some people's followers are just bots and bullshit.
Yeah.
But that's exactly why he doesn't want to buy it anymore. He wants to hold on the deal. And people are now saying, oh, he's just wanting a better price. But it is. And he said, like, the bots are a big deal. And we know the bots have been running conversations for so long.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. EP47 says, I agree, but right now the only thing that interests me about Elon Musk is his mom. Gareth, we've got to get her on so we can talk ideas and money. Well, she's amazing. Apparently, Mae Musk is just the most incredible woman. And she's the oldest supermodel in the world, by the way. So that's also worth giving her credit for. Apart from being Elon's mom, That's what she is. So impressive. Alvain says, now you're talking. I've been pleading for years that all students in their first year do a subject called common sense, but it seems this is required in government as well, specifically in the presidency. But how would you teach common sense? Because common sense is not a subject. It's not like you've got to learn this skill, that skill, that skill. You could put a syllabus together. How do you even teach something like common sense? Any ideas?
Yeah, look, Gareth.
Just call it, don't be stupid.
It doesn't exist. It doesn't exist in a multi...
Who's got an old phone? Hang on. Where did that come from?
Yeah, obviously.
Hang on.
I'm not sure.
Hello? Hello?
It's not me.
Hello?
It's definitely not me.
It wasn't me.
Hello?
It's obviously Leanne.
Oh, wait. She's answered it. Who's that?
I have a delivery. I'll be back.
Oh, that's great. All right. We'll keep your camera on so we can see what's been delivered. Oh, she switched it off.
Okay.
Yeah, leave it on. All right, while we're waiting for Leanne to get a delivery, you can't teach common sense, but I did think of this, Ben. I wanted your comments on this because you've usually got a quite sensible approach to these things. You know how many people don't know how to do simple things like change a tire or boil water on a stove or, I mean, really, really basic stuff? There was this video that someone sent me of a girl who's supposedly some kind of TikTok influencer. And she makes people, even though she's not a great chef or anything, she makes people watch, shouldn't make them, but people watch her cook. And she basically started a fire in her kitchen and she didn't know how to put it out. So she just started screaming and shouting into her phone going, guys, guys, help, help. Because no one had taught her how you put out a fire, which is a pretty simple thing, right?
Yeah, you would think so.
Talk about common sense. I mean, we've got to be able to teach people basic things. How do you start a fire? How do you change a plug? Light bulbs.
Yeah,
I mean, Gareth, really simple stuff.
But also teaching people how to react to something other than shouting and screaming. Because if you're just an emotional wreck that you just react to things, you won't be able to do anything. So even if like you don't understand what fire is, because you'll probably take a glass of wine and probably try to douse it with it. But you've got to understand just how you react with composure.
Well, apparently...
Screaming and shouting is such a... Ugh.
So there's a news article about it because her kitchen did burn down. She actually burnt down her kitchen.
Good.
Yeah, so...
Good.
I mean, you pay the price for... You know, ultimately the price for stupid is quite expensive. It's not a cheap thing.
Well, I hope she learns from this and it'll be a good experience for her then.
I just think a lot of kids really aren't getting this information from their parents. You can't expect schools to teach them this. They've got certain things they have to teach you.
Yep.
So obvious.
Gareth, it goes exactly back to what we were saying in the first hour. Like when you and Leanne were running around the bushveld, you were making fires, so therefore you had to learn how to put them out. This kid, or this woman, never had that because she was staring into her screen the whole time. And when the fire happened, it was like, oh, that's an actual tactile real thing. I don't know what to do.
Do you remember that movie? There was a movie where I think it was Kevin Costner. He was the dad and he was going to die before his kid was grown up. His kid was like a baby and he was going to die. He had some kind of disease. And then he made all these videos where he like taught the kid how to shave and all that sort of shit because it was a boy. And
so smart.
Yeah, I mean – But that kind of thing, you know, like we all, and in this country, we've got such fatherlessness and it's a huge problem. I wonder if it wouldn't be worth just like having a dad say, you know, this is how you punch someone in the face if they bully you, or this is what you do with your fist, you know, basic stuff. Like you need to know that stuff. It's not like you want to get into fights, but a lot of people who don't have dads don't know how to do that stuff. Or this is how you fish. Like if you go to a dam, this is how you can attach some bait to a hook and you can use a fishing rod like this and you know, basic stuff. Like I don't even know some of these things. I know lots of them, I suppose, but not all of them. And in this video, in this movie of I think it was Kevin Costner. I can't remember what it's called. But I remember him saying, you know, you don't go against the grain of the hair when you shave. And I remember seeing that and thinking, I wonder how many boys grow up not knowing basic stuff like that. And we don't teach anybody these things. Apparently there's...
Well, that's the whole thing about this common sense subject that we want at school.
No.
It's supposed to be taught to us by our parents.
Well, I mean, here's Congo Chris. He says, there's a very popular YouTube channel where the guy teaches basic things like changing tires and light bulbs. It's called something like Let Me Be Your Dad or whatever. So maybe that's worth looking up. But you know, again, this is stuff that helps. It helps to know this so you don't burn down your kitchen.
Yeah.
What did they deliver, Leanne?
I actually, you know, you forget that you order things. And I've just remembered now. I actually won a voucher at work for being like the superstar of the month.
Oh, look at you.
Clients or whatever. Ooh. And
so obviously that was recent, Helia, and that wasn't when Facebook took all your money.
No, they've forgotten about that, thank God.
I didn't get a voucher that much.
So what did you order?
No. So with my voucher, I ordered we all need one of these iPhone cables because they break so easily.
Thank God. I wondered what that was. I thought there was some like a female, interuterine device or something. So I'm glad you showed us up
close. Of course you would.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. It's Harambe's brother, Terrence.
An anti-burst case. What the hell's that?
It's an iPhone.
Oh, that's
transparent iPhone cover.
That's very cool. And it's got Harambe on it. That's amazing.
And then brother water filter, you know.
Oh, my God. Look at you.
For that.
Okay.
And all it cost me with delivery was 49 rand because of my voucher.
Magic.
Oh, what a story.
That's amazing. You see, we learn something
so
new.
So
we need to learn something new every day. That's so great. Ass, the superstar of May, says EB47. Congo Chris thought that was an industrial strength dildo.
Jeez.
Okay. Well, here's something interesting from Jean. He says, people have problems when you try to suggest a good way to do something. They react by saying, I do things my own way, and if it works for me, don't interfere. That won't change even if they know their way is not effective. That's also true. People don't really admit that they're wrong. It's a big problem.
Yeah, it's called insecurity. It's rife.
Yeah. A lot of people are ready for George this morning. Someone said right at the beginning of the show they've done all their research on Tesla and SpaceX, and they're going to fight with George. And someone says, I have a bone to pick with George about EVs as an owner. Where's the CC complaints department? Okay, well, you can bring that to George just now. I'll write down a brief synopsis of your problem, and I'll put it to George, and he can put the answer back to me. Just like Harry Nell and Barry Roo used to say in the Oscar Pistorius trial. Most people's primary reaction to a situation these days is to whip out the phone for a video, even when someone's being killed, says Sanella. This is right. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if she took an Instagram live of her kitchen burning. I'm sure she did. It's weird.
Sanella is really adding value after the blocking.
Yeah? I know. He's trying to really come in strong. But I got to say, this is a thing that bothers me. We seem to not bat an eyelid anymore when we watch a video of someone being beaten up or like someone being, harassed in public or, a guy like shot in the supermarket. We seem to not be horrified by the fact that bystanders very often are not helping. They're filming. It goes against, I mean, like, it's such a weird psychological thing. And I don't think we have time for this now. But it's worth reflecting on that humans have now got to the point where instead of helping each other, which should be your default reaction, we're so busy with these things filming. Like, it's more important that we capture the moment, It's very weird. It's just so unhealthy. It's a good point Sinead has brought up this morning. Jesus, unbelievable. All right. It is Friday, though. It's going to be a cold weekend, as we mentioned earlier. Apparently, Apple's hidden setting. They have a hidden setting on their phone that instantly makes your video and audio calls sound better. And why don't we know about this? Why do they hide these
things? That's so weird.
Why
is there no default setting?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's the whole point of this thing is everyone's like, well, why wasn't it just default?
So what do you got? Well, how do we change this?
So if you're using FaceTime audio or you're using like WhatsApp video, I mean, often it already sounds much better than a phone call, right?
Yeah.
But you can even go further than that. If you go to the, you've got to actually be already in the app or on the call, which is why it's quite hard to, weirdly hard to find. So while you're in the call, you swipe down from the upper right corner.
Right.
And then you go to the control center and tap on the button that says mic mode. By default, it's set to standard. But there are two other options, voice isolation and wide spectrum.
Wow.
So wide spectrum actually lets other people on your call hear more background noise.
You don't want that.
No, unless you're at a concert or something to do, but it's a terrible thing to do to people. It's violating. and then voice isolation is where the magic happens. Huh. So basically when you enable voice isolation, your device begins to aggressively process the audio coming into your mic to remove background noise.
That's cool.
So you won't have the hardy-dars and the dog barking and the sounds of traffic.
I just want to do this because Woody says, if I ask Siri what – hang on, let me do this. I'll do it right now. Hey, Siri. What is 0 divided by 0?
If nothing is divided by nothing, then there's nothing to divide or divide it with, and the division never happened. So my answer is no.
Bitch.
She's so grumpy this morning.
She's so testy, huh? Listen to that. If the answer is divided by nothing. Wow. I won't ask you and Ari again. Do you know people who actually ask Siri for maths questions like that? That's amazing. Woody, thanks for letting me know, but she doesn't seem to like me. Maybe you got a better answer. Do you know people who actually...
I use a calculator for that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we have to ask Siri. Well, anyway.
Technically a phone, but the phone calculator.
Well, it's time for Borge because it is now 14 minutes to 8 in the morning. Not that that matters to you if you're listening to us on the podcast, but that's usually when George joins us. And here he is. Hey, George, what's happening? What is going on? There's always something interesting going on in the background on these calls we do with you. Where are you now?
I'm in my garage. Car's charging.
There it is. Wow, what a garage. I mean, you would see, if I had to broadcast from my garage, it looks like absolute shit compared to yours. It looks so tidy and organized.
Well, I had to make it tidy because, you know, sometimes there's interesting cars parked in here.
Damn right. So what is that plugged in now? What do you got there?
This is my iPace.
Oh, nice.
And it's busy charging. It's on about 60% charge. Probably get it to about 80, 90%. It's busy charging from the solar panels up on the roof. So, you know, in that way, you don't have to pay for fuel.
Well, we got a couple of people who've got questions for you, George. So we'll get to those just now. But tell us what you have for us first.
Okay, so have you ever pitched up at a parking lot, wherever, and somebody is parked over two bays?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
often.
And basically, a poople is what you call poople. Him.
Yeah, I mean, let's be fair though. There are some places, some shops, or you know, parking lots or whatever, where they make them very, very small. There's some that are extremely tiny, and then there are those ones that are very big. But there are assholes who park across two bays, yes.
But also it can happen to you as like secondary smoke, where somebody else has parked like that and you're forced to park that way. Yeah. And you look like the asshole when that person leaves.
Right.
That's also true. So this lady, and she had an apartment in America, obviously, and she rented this apartment with two bays.
Right.
And she only had one car. Okay. So what do you do if you've got two bays and one car?
Whatever you want.
So other people would park in her bay. And she would leave sticky notes on the windscreen. She would say, please don't park in my bay. You know, sometimes get a little bit nastier. And then she decided, well, stuff that, she's just going to park across both of her own bays. Only to find that she got rude notes on her windscreen saying, don't park over two bays.
And it's hers. Okay, but this happens. I mean, we laugh about it, but this happens in Cape Town too, where parking is at a premium, right, George? And people are they buy an apartment, but your parking could cost you more than your apartment.
Exactly.
In New York, there are very few people who can afford both the place that they live in and a parking space, which is why people prefer to use public transport so much of the time. And if you've bought two, you park across the middle of both. It's yours. You paid for it.
I totally agree. But does that apply in parking lots? Let's say you drive into a parking lot and the parking lot is largely empty and you can park across two bays, would you?
No, you don't need to be an asshole. I suppose
you don't need an asshole. Yeah, you know. So anyway, this poor lady got a bunch of stickers on her windscreen saying, "Don't park like this." She effectively left a note back on the note saying, "I am the asshole. I'm an asshole for parking across my two paid bays."
Well, Jean has a suggestion. This is horrible, but carry cable ties in your car. If someone parks like a deuce, tie a trolley or two to their car doors.
I love that.
Ah, people have got great ideas. That's so cool. All right.
People are creative. And then Gareth, you know, if you couldn't transport your car somewhere, mm-hmm. right, or you needed to transport your car somewhere for and you had no other way, would you hire a truck to put your or some kind of truck to put your car on in order to move it from one place to another?
This is a very complicated question. I've never had to encounter this problem before. Can I?
Well, if you look at the link I just sent you, you'll mm-hmm. see that this guy hired a removal truck.
Oh wow!
And in hiring this removal truck, hired one that was wide enough but not long enough. So the state troopers pulled him over.
Yeah, I got to show people this picture. I've just got to put this up on the screen because this is easily one of the weirdest things. If you close your eyes now and picture what a car inside a truck looks like, you have an idea of it, like Knight Rider, where he would park the, you know, he'd park his car in the truck, right? But that's not what we have here. We have a U-Haul, which is like a little mini truck in America they use for moving things. And the car's half sticking out. Here's the picture. Take a look at this if you're on YouTube. You can see he's it's just basically up to the back. The front of the back wheel is in the U-Haul. The rest of it is hanging out of the back.
And the interesting thing about this particular maneuver was the only thing keeping that car inside the U-Haul was that single strap around the back of the bumper when the state troopers pulled him over.
That's great. All right, what else you got?
And then a question. Can your electric vehicle, can this I-Pace power your house? It's been quite a topic of conversation, and at the moment there is only one car in production in the world that has what's called bi-directional charging, which means that you can use the plug to charge the car and you can use the plug to extract electricity. And VW are sporting an EV that can do that too.
I mean, this is the one country in the world that we would want that, right? Because you sometimes need power for your house when you have it in your car, and sometimes you want power for your car when you have it in your house, but you maybe not have both because of Eskom.
Exactly.
Cool.
Exactly. So if we did the maths a little bit, so and we use this I-Pace as an example, right? This is a 90 kilowatt hour battery. I know because of the inverters I've got installed in the house how much electricity my house uses. Mm-hmm. And my house uses approximately, excluding the car, my house uses approximately 20 kilowatts a day. So 20 kilowatts a day it uses. Which means that this car could power my house for approximately 4 to 5 days.
Phenomenal.
Wow.
We got to have we got to be able to extract that value, man.
So I think, I mean, the thing of the future is to allow the cars to plug into the houses. And, you know, then there's creative things like selling the electricity back. But these cars can power a house for 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 days in most instances.
Of course.
Jeez, it's almost worth buying the car and then renting it out to people to as like a generator during load shedding.
I can imagine people though running out of power in their car because they plugged it into the house and the house has taken all the power. Then they can't go to the shops. Then they complain that their car has no power. So you never know. Well,
You just never know. You just never know. And then you get these driver assistance systems in cars called DAS systems, driver assistance systems, which keep you in your lane. You've probably driven a car that has a lane keep assist on it. Mm-hmm. You've got cruise control that keeps the distance from the car in front of you, all called driver assistance systems. And they usually most of them are level 2 self-driving systems, which means that you can't take your hands off the steering, et cetera. Tesla's autopilot, as you know, is the best one in the world so far. So the AAA, the U.S. Consumer and Travel Services Organization, did a test with a couple of cars. So what they did was they wanted to test these driver assistance systems, and they put the car onto the road, overtaking a dummy car traveling in the same direction as the test vehicle. Then they had one overtaking a dummy cyclist heading in the same direction. And then they did one with a dummy car.
Sorry, I just want to correct you there. Every cyclist is a dummy.
No, guys, stop it.
Sorry.
I knew you would do it. I
needed to say that. Sorry.
And then they did the same thing in the opposite direction. So head-on collision type stuff at 40 kilometers an hour. Mm-hmm. And in the tests, the cars all avoided the cyclist as well as the dummy car, the dummy cyclist and the dummy car going in the same direction, but crashed into the ones in the opposite direction. So the only car that braked for the dummy coming in the opposite direction was the Tesla Model 3. Hmm. It braked down to a speed of about 5 km an hour, but still crashed into the dummy car.
Sure. Hmm. So there's still work to be done, basically.
Yeah.
There's still work to be done. Don't trust these self-driving systems entirely. You know, if you like this iPace, for instance, has lane keep assist and an adaptive cruise control, which means that it keeps it in the lane, keeps the following distance on the highway from a car in front of you. And it brakes if the car in front of you brakes. But I've had instances where the car brakes too late. I'm quicker than the car. So you should never take your eyes off the road if you are driving these systems.
We're still a way off of having this perfected. I mean, ultimately, once all the cars are electric, and I mean, this is a pipe dream, it's a bit utopian to think this way now. But then obviously the machines will see the machines and then it'll be safe. But at the moment,
yes,
there's still too much room for human error. George, a couple of questions for you because we've got to wrap this up. So MM wants to know, George, you never mentioned that EVs should not be charged to 100% and the battery not be allowed to be depleted beyond 30%. That is to preserve battery life. Is that right?
That is absolutely correct. However, like the iPace that's standing in my garage here, you don't really get access to the last 10% of the 90 kilowatt hour battery. So the car's software actually doesn't allow you to use the entire battery. Oh. And it doesn't allow you to deplete the battery to zero either. So a lot of EVs are built that way. Some EVs aren't. Some EVs allow you to access the entire battery. This iPace doesn't. So you're absolutely right. You shouldn't charge the battery consistently beyond 90%. And you shouldn't let the battery deplete. I would say 30% is probably the safe bet to preserve the life of your batteries. Lithium ion doesn't like being deep discharged.
That's interesting. They don't put that in the T's and C's very often. So it's good that we're having this conversation here because, you know, we've got to refer to the good and the bad when it comes to these things. But Congo Chris wants to make an apology. I've done my homework on the SpaceX Tesla, and I mentioned that I mentioned 2 weeks ago to you because I knew you would too. It's going to be an options package for the Plaid Roadster. It's being held up. So that was in respect of an argument that you and Congo Chris had a couple of weeks ago on the show. So he's just coming into.
Well, it's not surprising. There, we are running out of batteries worldwide, and a lot of these cars are not coming into production. VW has sold out all of their EVs. So worldwide, we are probably going to see a bit of an EV shortage.
Hmm.
I wouldn't be surprised if that option package doesn't come.
I love the idea that your car may be able to charge your house and vice versa. That's something I'd never thought of before, George, and I really think that could be a massive gap in the South African market. I mean, imagine your car does a better job than Eskom. One vehicle does a better job than a huge parastatal that's worth nothing but is in debt to billions. It's just unbelievable. All right.
Well, I mean, before we go, I only use 20% of this car's battery a day. No more than that.
But where are you just, is this going to work and back, doing the shopping, that kind of thing?
Shopping,
Okay.
All of that stuff. You use no more than about 20% of it.
It does drive me a bit crazy, though, when my battery is – I love 100%. I'm very happy when my battery is at 100%. So I don't know if I'd be able to cope with that. All right. So we got to say our goodbyes. It's the end of the show. It's the end of the week. And by the time you blink, it'll be Monday again. But have a nice weekend. Keep warm this weekend. Any closing comments, George, Ben, Leanne, anything you want to throw in there that you haven't already?
No, but very nice to see Ben two times in a row.
I know.
Hey, George.
He's going to
well,
be
well, two and a half. You, yeah.
He's going to be around a lot more, whether you like it or not, George. So we all better get used to each other. And by the way, no more mentions of Frank Herbert or whatever his name is, Ben. We're going to ban that. Otherwise, it's good.
Why do you hate brilliance, Gareth? Why do you hate genius?
All right. Cheers, everybody. Have a happy weekend. We will see you on Monday.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye. Cheers. CliffCentral.com.